Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. This is Leslie Seda, your host, and I have my co-host Margaret Sheldon on the line. Good morning. Sorry about that.
Good morning. I was relaxed.
I turned my computer on, went to grab my coffee, came back, and it was dead. And I was like, ah!
Oh, no. That's the worst feeling.
Yeah. So, anyway. How are you, Margaret?
Well, you know, I'm feeling pretty good this morning. I took care of stuff that's needed to been taken care of for a long time. And here's a revelation. I actually got myself some help to get it done. I cleared a room of furniture,
mm-hmm.
and it would have taken us forever. My husband just said, shoulder surgery, you know, I can't move these big boxes. Well, don't you know, I sort of thought, oh, I know who can help me move them. Made a phone call. Three guys showed up, and in 45 minutes, mission accomplished. What a great feeling. You know, Leslie, you do this all the time because you're always redoing rooms and
yes,
having
that's so true.
Thoughts. But for me, this is, we've been storing wedding presents for my son for 5 or 6 years, and they just bought a house. So it's all going to its rightful home, and I am thrilled. I feel like I just bought a new house. I have all this room that I've gotten back. I'm reclaiming my turf, and I'm a happy woman, can you tell?
That's awesome. Congratulations.
It is. It felt as good as, you know, cleaning the studio, which is next up.
Yeah.
How have you been? You did a big reveal on Monday.
Well, we did a photo shoot for American Farmhouse Style magazine.
Oh, my goodness.
And so my house looks perfect. Slowly, it's becoming unperfect. But for one day, it looked really good. No.
That's true.
And it was so cool. I have a whopping 2 paintings hanging up in my house, and they took photos of both of them. So I think one of the two at least might end up in their magazine, which would be great.
Oh, that's great. Good for you.
Yeah, I would like
good
that a lot. Here's the hard part, though. It's either for the spring or summer issue next year.
Always. Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
Well,
we did a Christmas
shoot
for another magazine, and I was like, this is going to be in a year, but it'll be out in like October, so it doesn't feel like it's that far away. So it happens eventually.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's exciting. Very good.
Yes.
All right.
I know. So it's just been a crazy time. That's all I can say.
I think that's what we say every week, and I'm sure every artist out there knows what we're talking about. It's just, as long as the time is filled with good things, no complaints here.
I agree.
Yeah.
And as busy as my life is, it was so out of control, and we had a really scary thing happen with Michael. He got injured at practice with his neck. He was, of course, convinced he had a slipped disc and needed surgery because it was that bad.
Oh.
But he did so much physical therapy and everything. He's almost perfectly fine. And but the stress that creates when you're worried about your son, who's a professional athlete and all that, was way, 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 way more than we needed this week.
Yeah. Well,
I'm happy now.
All well, good.
And I have artichokes growing in my garden, so it's all good.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah, your
silly,
garden
but
is way ahead of ours. We're still working on it, so there you
go. Good for you.
Spring has arrived. Yeah.
Well, today's topic is kind of a fun one because I know I've said this before, but being an artist is a really lonely job. You know, it really is. And for a lot of reasons, I think it's important to get a group of people kind of in your everyday life if you can. And I think the worst thing that happens when you work kind of by yourself is when you start to doubt yourself. And, you know, we get in that little downward spiral, and you wake up one morning and you're like, why do I even think I can be an artist? You know, how crazy am I?
Right.
I haven't sold anything. And, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. And you get in that downward spiral, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. And we need input from other people. It's a way of life. It's a really positive thing. And I really think it is so important regardless of where you are in your skill level, to have a tribe or a group of people that can kind of help support you and encourage you and give you guidance. And it's really a win-win situation. I'm sure you agree, Margaret. And
go ahead. You know, a lot of people, you know, after I had that car wreck, I heard from a lot of folks who said things like, I know I don't know you, but I feel like I know you because I listen to you and Leslie in my studio or when I'm painting.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, that's another way. It's like people just, you know, you go from a world, especially if you've left a job, I think you go from a sort of a social existence to, no matter how much you love it and how much you dream about spending more time painting, you can go a little cabin crazy if you don't find someone to talk to you. And yeah, I think the support is in every direction.
And I think the best example that I have is what's happened to me on Instagram. I have a lot of really, really good friends on Instagram that I've never met, nor have I ever actually had a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And I always say, oh, she's like a really good friend of mine. I've never met her.
Yeah.
Well, do you talk to her on the phone? Well, no. We DM all the time.
That's right.
Now, actually, a lot of those people now I do talk on the phone because it's just too hard to type in your phone when you're talking to people sometimes. So it's those relationships that I have in my Instagram world are super important to me. And they're healthy and they're reinforcing and they're sometimes places to go to ask questions. And nowadays, especially with social media, it's totally normal to have support groups or share groups, which we'll get into in a little bit, but to have people that maybe you only work through the internet, but those people that are there and have similar interests and are great. So it's really important to have a group of people, whether it's an in-person meeting of artists or like a tribe or an Instagram. There are so many ways in which a group of similar-minded artists can be a big boon for your creativity. And it can help you so many ways. So many ways. So today we're going to talk about some specific things. Margaret's got some great experience that she's going to share. And so this is going to be fun.
I think it is. And I think for anybody out there who, you know, sort of thinks it sounds like something they'd like to get involved with, we're going to give you some ways that you can either find a group or start a group. And so the first thing I want to say is I did some research. I wanted to, and there's a ton of it out there. I wanted to sort of have backup besides just my own personal experience and the fact that Leslie and I have probably, Leslie, I wonder how many times we've actually been in the same room. You know, I mean, we have, everyone. We really have, and we've done it for sort of intensive little periods. But honestly, considering how long we've, quote-unquote, known each other, it's remarkable that this is something that you can work out, whether it's virtual and online or in person. And in all respects, it can help your art not only inspire it, but it can actually help you market and grow your art. And so I did this research to sort of reinforce my opinion. And I want to make sure I give credit to this online website/group called GYST. And it's Get Your Stuff Together, although it's not stuff, it's a lot of asterisks, exclamation points. But this is a group that I think they're LA based, in fact, and they offer all sorts of services to artists. You know, they have online learning and educational seminars and workshops and things.
Right.
If anybody's kind of curious at the end, all you have to do is Google GYST and you'll find them. So I did use that to kind of give me some good basis to make the points we're going to talk about today. And the first thing I want to say is about 4 years ago, and it was before I quit my job, I had a friend say, oh, you'll have to join art group. And I thought, oh, I don't know what that is. But, of course, I ended up doing it right after I left my job. And it's been one of the most important things I've done. It's a monthly meeting, a group of artists. I think the email list is probably 16 artists I would say that at a regular meeting, maybe 8 show up because, you know, people have obligations. And for me, it really is nice. Everyone gets together. We rotate who's going to host it. If you host it, it's potluck. The hostess does the main course. Everybody else comes in. But before we eat, yes, there's cheese and crackers out and usually some wine. But
can I ask you a quick question? Was this started just with a group of people? Or was there an organization behind it? How did this come about?
It was a group of people. I think it was, in fact, ours, it's only women, not by design, by default, it's just women. But it was an artist that met at an open studio event. And then, everyone knows another artist that they think would fit well with the group, and it sort of expands that way, very organically. And, you know, we welcome anyone who sort of can suggest somebody. If they're a practicing artist, that's great. Some of them are retired from jobs. Others have been doing art their entire life. It's a real mix, which I think enriches it, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do anything, the first person who's ready puts their art up. And no, not everyone brings a piece every month, but you're supposed to. And of course, you know, you're not going to get on anybody who doesn't bring it, but it's remarkable. Everybody puts it up there, explains what they're working on, you know, and I'll talk more about the way we sort of conduct it. But I will tell you that I find this to be one of the best resources for finding out about other, you know, art opportunities. Maybe there's a show that's looking for entries. I just got a summer reading list from a woman who was talking about interesting biographies of artists that she's read. You know, we always talk about an opening that maybe others would be interested in going to, if anybody's been to a recent museum show, that sort of thing. And it's just, it's one night a month, and it is something I look forward to every single month. So there's a few things, I think, that go into making these sorts of gatherings successful. And when I say these sorts, I mean sort of a regular in-person meeting of a group. And the first thing I'm going to tell you, I think, is critical. We call it art group. Other people call them a critique or a crit group. I know that word frightens people. Please don't let it frighten you. But it could be one of the
for good
best
reason.
Tools you have. Well, I really don't think there's a good reason, because I don't think that a critique has to be negative. In fact,
but that's the reason why I said that is there are a lot that are negative. I think didn't you tell me about one that you went to that was negative or you got or didn't you?
I did. I got
okay.
I did. In fact, I'm happy to tell you that that person comes very rarely. But, and don't forget, we are all hypersensitive.
Oh,
I mean, even
completely.
I can look back at that thing. Think to myself, what was I reacting to, for goodness sake? But the fact is, I think critiques help an artist better understand how your work communicates. You know, what are you getting across? It actually, here's something I hadn't realized, but when you explain your work out loud, right, even to a group of, you know, friends, you're developing sort of a language and a way of thinking about your work that gives you the ability to, it's like public speaking. And
Right. Let's,
you know, if you're walking into a gallery or if a gallery has approached you, you need to be able to explain your work. So it's really good practice if you think about it. I mean,
Right. If
I hear anybody say my work speaks for itself, I would challenge that point. Because there's always... Right, there's always something that you want to know about a piece of art or something you want to ask about it. So, you know, I think that's an invaluable sort of tool to have in your belt. The other thing is that maintaining a really efficient art group or crit group, it helps your work stay kind of fresh and relevant, and it makes you active in some sort of an art community. I'm not saying that's everybody's thing, but most of the artists I know really enjoy talking about art. Even the really shy, reticent ones, if you can get them talking about their artwork, you know, it sort of sparks them alive. And I think the most beneficial thing about a good group is that if you meet regularly, you become familiar with the other artist's work. And
sure.
Not only does that inform your work, but I've seen so many times where artists will, you know, put together a proposal for a group show. You know, you can exhibit together, share
mm-hmm.
resources. And I think the most important point I want to make here is that we know from talking to gallery owners and from talking to artists that the best way to get a gallery owner interested in seeing your work is if one of their artists recommend you. Because,
yeah, of course,
we've heard that over and over again. It makes so much sense to me. But if they have an artist that they're representing and that person says, you know, there's a woman whose work I've been seeing, you should take a look at it. Bingo, that is worth more marketing than you can do probably in a year. So
mm-hmm.
don't discount any of these. I think these are all good reasons to be part of a good, healthy group.
It's funny because the only critique group I've ever been in was with the class I took at Art Center. Now, Art Center is amazing in Pasadena, so this is a unique situation. And the way it happened, at the end of the class, the teacher would pick some paintings to talk about. And we probably had 8 classes. Every single time, she always picked her favorites, the people who'd taken her classes over and over and over. We always ran out of time, and one of my paintings never once got critiqued. And it was such a terrible, terrible experience for me because she played favorites with those people to the point where I think they probably went out for drinks every time after class, and this is just a continuation of that conversation or precursor. And so it was terrible. So it's so good to hear you talk about that. And I know one of the things Margaret said is a smaller critique group of less than 10 people ensures that each person gets a solid crit of his or her work. And that was the problem that we had. We probably had 15 people in the class. She probably did 6 at the end of the class, and it was the same people every single time. And I got such a bad taste in my mouth. And this was a class. This was even worse, I think. But I think your advice of trying to limit the number of participants to no more than 10 is so smart because it gets kind of, I mean, after a while, if it's like 12, 15 people, that's too long. I mean, it sounds terrible, but I think everybody genuinely wants to hear what others have to say about their art because you can learn so much. But, you know, 3 hours of critiques might get a little bit long-winded. So, I think, and you trade off who hosts. So you don't want it to be something that people dread or the host dreads. And I think it's just a really, really great idea. I mean, how big is your group? How many people is it?
Oh,
average?
Well, the list is very long. Average is about 8.
Yeah. I would think 5 to 8 people would be perfect.
I was going to say, when there's 6, it's really fun.
Yeah, I bet.
But but then again, you never know, like, how many people will actually bring. So you want to make sure.
Do people ever come and don't bring a painting?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah.
But
there's just knowing.
I've done that a couple of times, probably twice in the years.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel an obligation to bring work, you know, like, if we're going to do this, we should do this. But sometimes, we all know, life just gets in the way, and I'm not about to miss art group just because I don't have a painting to bring. So
mm-hmm.
I go anyway.
Hey, I've been to book club having not read the book, so it's fine.
The
exact same thing. But I think I think the number of people is really cool. Now, I have a question. Could you do this online or like in a chat group or on the phone with a group of people?
You absolutely could. I think in that case, sometimes it's more of a mentoring. It'd be harder to critique. I mean, you could certainly share images and things.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
I have artists whose opinion I respect, and I will call – you know, and say, I need you to look at something for me. What am I doing wrong? Or should I keep going with this? And to expand on that, especially if someone lives someplace maybe remote or whatever, I don't see why you couldn't do it. I mean,
me neither.
You
could do Google Hangout.
Yeah.
We've done Google Hangout.
But then you wouldn't have dinner.
Then what?
Then you wouldn't have dinner. I love the fact that we have dinner. You feel like such a grown-up to sit at someone's dining room table and, you know, sometimes, we all know this, sometimes it's the conversation after the conversation that's the most informative, right?
Of course.
You know, it's
of
the
course.
Little, yeah, it's just great. It's just great.
No,
so,
I completely get that. That's awesome.
You know the other thing that's really another thing to think about if you're setting up your group, I think, is if you have, let me think, we don't have entirely painters. And certainly, if you have nothing but painters and you're a painter, it's going to be great. You're all going to talk about painting all the time, who you have taught, who you've taken from, materials and all that. But we have one ceramicist who's in our group, and we have one person that's sort of a printmaker sculptor. But I think my point here is anyone can bring sort of a fresh perspective, even if they're outside of your own medium. And I think it would be really cool. Maybe they wouldn't, but I think like getting an interior designer to come in, like if somebody's got a friend, have them join in and see what they think about what everyone's doing. I mean, anyone who's in the design field, let me tell you, architects have very strong feelings on paintings. And there's nothing an architect likes more than giving their opinion. Speaking as someone who used to be an architect, married to one, you know, but I think that's the sort of thing that maybe be a little creative when you're putting the group together. I love seeing what our ceramicist brings. You cannot believe these beautiful things. She sort of unpacks them and we all ooh and ah. And it's just, it makes it that much more exciting. So jazz it up. That's my advice. Yeah.
Oh, I totally agree. So if you're having trouble finding artists to join a critique group because you want to do it locally, reach out. You can reach out to your local arts nonprofit. I mean, they may be able to send an email saying, hey, there's a group getting together. Who wants to join it?
Yep.
And so you could even offer to host the critiques at their facility. You could contact alumni from your college if you're nearby. But of course, I would highly recommend you use social media.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people you don't know, sort of, they're like secretly making art at night.
Right.
Right in your neighborhood. Yeah, that's a fun thing to do. What a thing to discover, right? Your milkman is actually a great painter.
Yeah.
I would like that. So, all right. Now, I'm going to take a leap here with my next thought, but if you have a group that really takes off, like it's robust, especially, I don't know. I was going to say especially if you're hosting it like at an art center or an art association or something, but I think even given like someone's studio, if it was large enough, think about inviting a guest moderator or a guest critic. You know, there's lots of people, if you have some good art going on, that would love to come in, especially because this isn't an organization that's sponsoring it, sort of like a class. If something this informal, you would be amazed at the people who want to come. And let me tell you, we did this once. We asked someone who has had a career restoring art, and we said, would you be interested in coming and just seeing what we do, maybe sort of facilitating the talk that night? Well, people brought the best paintings I've ever seen. It was as if company was coming and everyone kind of got, you know, dressed up, so to speak. It really made it more exciting. And I think, you know, if you get someone who's maybe a professional, i.e. an arts administrator or I don't know, whatever, you can always offer to pay for their time if it's feedback that everyone's going to be interested in getting. But, again, I think you've got to decide sort of what kind of a group it is you want to grow, and then think about it. I'm telling you, there's no end to how far you can take it.
So. No, I think that's wonderful. Yeah. Okay, so Margaret also suggests what you need to host an art group. Obviously, you need enough seating to accommodate everyone. Oh, yeah. We know that, right?
And we fill it up, let me tell you.
And space to display the work. Okay, so if you have a meal, do you guys do the critiquing all throughout the evening, or do you wait to the end, or what do you do?
Absolutely not, because people get super wordy. Remember how you were saying you wouldn't want a three-hour critique? If everyone's hungry, it keeps them moving. And also, I mean...
So you didn't answer my question. Do you do it at the beginning then?
Well, we don't. No, there's cheese and crackers out, and usually everyone has a drink in their hand, whether it's, you know, iced tea or wine. But
right.
We have like an hors d'oeuvre during the critiques, but dinner is after.
Oh, got
it. And we don't eat. So it keeps everyone focused because they're hungry, and nobody wants to be out till midnight. So it's kind of like starts at 6, and I'm telling you, by, well, 8 o'clock at the latest, we're having dinner.
Okay, and you've already done all the critiquing. Okay, that's important to know. Because that's kind of one of those logistical things that I think is pretty important. But obviously, you need space to accommodate, or seating to accommodate everybody, space to display the work, snacks and beverages can help. Now, I know that you warned about having meals as part of the group meetings, because when dinner is served, it's easy for it to escalate to the point where no one wants to host the meeting because it's a lot of work.
Right.
So think about that. Keep it simple. I don't know if you'd want to do potluck. There's so many ways you can kind of get around it. But I think it's so smart to finish the critiquing before you start the meal.
The other thing, of course, is, and this is why I think most book groups fall apart. So I'm going to take it from book group to art group. If the dinners start getting too fancy, it kills the buzz. Everyone starts to be the one that thinks, oh, gosh, you know, she did such a beautiful job with beef, and what will I serve this month? You know, we have one gal in our art group who hosted us at her new studio. She's part of a big co-op here, and she got this wonderful loft. Well, no, big square studio space in what used to be a school, so you can imagine the windows. And she served us pizza, and everybody was fine with it. It was like, you know, you've got to make it so that no one feels overwhelmed, because it's really about getting together. So, you know, the other warning, I feel like I'm giving a few warnings right now, but there are so many different ways to discuss someone's artwork when you're having, I don't think there's any other word I can use, but when you're having a critique. And every group decides, obviously, what is sort of most suitable for them. But I just wanted to offer a couple of ways to think about structuring a group if you're going to do it. You know, sort of guidelines or rules, if you will. And the first one, and most adults know this, but sometimes it's nice to kind of have it written down or say it out loud. Everyone needs to be really civil. And any comments made have to be made in good faith, kind of with the best of intentions. Do you know, artists who set their work always should give sort of a short statement and explain what they're doing. And then I think it's really important to tell the group what you want. In other words, do you want a hard critique about what do we think about this painting? Or do you just want to see if people think you're going in the right direction? Do you want, you know, someone to maybe help you solve a problem? Like, you know, there's something wrong, but you can't figure it out. I think you need to spend a little time considering what you're going to ask the group from. And then the group needs to give it sort of in the kindest way and most focused way possible.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. How long does each one go?
At the end of the day.
How long
does
each
one go?
How would you
person?
Guess, though? Pardon? Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe 10 minutes sometimes.
Got
15
it.
15 minutes would be a long one. If anybody went 20 minutes, I think the whole group would be tapping their wristwatch saying, okay, we got to keep moving. Because, you know, if you have 8 people at 10 minutes each, you're already at an hour and a half.
Right.
So you kind of don't have to go more than that.
Yeah. That's true. So some artists find it helpful to use a critique session to discuss a project and process, which I think is such a smart idea. because you can be talking about ideas and things that are influencing the work. Artists that take this approach can send an article or topic to their critique group before the meeting and then use the actual presentation time to discuss the article. I mean, no matter what you decide to or how you decide to structure your critique group, keep in mind that the primary purpose of any group, of course, is to provide the artist with constructive criticism so he or she can make his or her work technically better and more conceptually sound. So I think this is what you're going to talk about, Margaret, because this is the key. Checking in with the artist to make sure he or she is getting what he or she wants out of the critique.
That's right.
I mean, have you ever been sitting there looking at the artist and realizing this is not going well? Have you ever?
You know, yes. And sometimes it's because I think usually it's a miscommunication. Like somebody is giving feedback that isn't anything at all to do with what the artist wants. So if somebody says, what do you think about this? Where's the problem? And somebody else starts saying, well, this is so different than your other work. And you think, you're not really addressing what she's asking. And I have to say a good group will step in. Because, you know, you always have a couple of alpha dogs. And if one of the alphas step in because they maybe are the most experienced artist or most successful, that person, I feel like it's their duty to say, well, you know, I'm not sure that's what she's really asking for. And maybe what you mean is, and, you know, and we do that a lot. We'll reframe the question saying, I think you want to know what the problem is here in this area. And it's an issue of values. And then you kind of get everybody to come around. And it's very helpful to say to the artist, is that what you were asking? Because I thought you were going in a different direction. So I think, again, as crazy as it sounds, having somebody who's an alpha who can pull it back is a really useful thing.
Is that the same person every time, or is it the host, or
no.
Who is that? Pardon? Oh.
Well, it's not the same person every time, but I'd say it's one of the same three people. You know, it's just sort of a personality thing or an experience thing where they can read that the artist isn't getting what they asked for, and they sort of will step in and redirect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a personality thing. And, you know, it helps if the artist feels comfortable speaking their mind. But, you know, sometimes, you know, especially women tend to be so polite. They don't want to stop someone. You know, we've got to all get over that. Time is short. And luckily, there's usually dinner cooking in the kitchen, so it moves things along. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to keep things positive, right? And I did read something that I thought was really helpful. A good rule of thumb when discussing anyone's work is to sandwich bad news in between praise. So start off and, you know, talk about what's working, and then maybe bring around what you think maybe isn't working as well, or say, you know, there's always a way to couch it, you know, and say, I think it looks to me like your issue is, here's one that I use a lot, you've overworked this. And then you end with praise because you say, you can easily correct this because the rest of it is so strong. I mean, you know, you want to get your point in there, especially, Leslie, especially when it's glaring. You know, when you can see it and the artist can't, you know, you're itching to say, fix this. So you've got to, I think it's important, say something good, talk about what you think might be the issue with the painting, and then end with something good. It's so much easier for anyone to absorb it that way.
Right.
And you know what? When it's a new person or maybe somebody who has a departure from their usual style, it's really important because they're the ones that tend to be more vulnerable. And just like I did that one night when I had that person that said something so negative, I thought it was like that was the only voice I heard. So I think, you know, the beauty of a regular group is that the group gets to know each other, and you know who wants maybe a really open, honest critique and who needs something like a little more gentle.
Mm-hmm.
A little more gentle. But again, that's so much the personality of the group. And if you don't sort of be mindful of that. I think it's like any relationship, you know, if you're not careful, it's all going to fall apart. So one of the things that we do, which is really a pleasure, and I don't know if other groups would want to try this, but we take a break over the summer. We will have our last meeting in early June, and then I won't see this group of artists until September. And the nice thing about that is everybody's kind of refreshed. Everybody knows it's just like school, right? You all go back in September. And, you know, you kind of keep an eye on everyone's work if you happen to be on social media. The group can stay together. I think it's really great that a group follow one another on Instagram or even set up a special Facebook group. You know, we've done that where the group can see one another's work and comment on it. And maybe you're not showing it to the world, but just to each other. But I think taking breaks is really important because no matter how creative and supportive the group is, it's kind of nice to get away from everyone and kind of hear your own voice. But I don't know, you know, in terms of during the quote-unquote school year, that's when you're ready, I think, to sort of work on your art. And it just seems more timely.
So have you ever had a situation where the positivity was not there and somebody was upset? And if yes, how did you guys work through that?
Well, let's see. I have to say I've never seen it really go south. This group has been together for far longer than I've been a member. They've probably all been gathering for 10 years. I think it's really helpful that there is a hierarchy, and it's usually got to do with years of experience. And I think we just have a couple really solid members who are authoritative enough and smart enough about dynamics. Because you know what happens? You become friends with the people in the group. Maybe not close friends, but certainly friends. So I think everyone really does that kind of bring that cordiality to it. And nobody would want to see anybody feel, the point of this is not for anyone to ever feel bad.
Of course not. Yeah.
So I've never seen anybody kind of come away with a negative feeling.
That's wonderful.
I feel like women are good at that. You know?
I agree.
I'm sure men are too, but women are we're so aware of others' feelings that, I don't think anybody would let that happen.
Awesome.
There's a social
contract
there.
I like hearing that.
Yeah.
Very much so.
It's important, yeah. And then online.
Okay. So I wanted to mention, because having a group like what Margaret has where you can actually meet in person is a fabulous idea. But what if you just don't know enough people? And even if you try through a local art group or who knows, or maybe you live super remote, you know, and you'd have to drive forever just to do that. I do believe that you can do this online in a very, very successful way. And you can do this with an artist share group on Instagram. And hopefully everybody knows how to set up a direct message. When you're on your Instagram account and you're on your home page, you go to the little house at the bottom and you press that. And then in the far corner is a little, looks like a little paper airplane. It's my best description of it. The little arrow. And if you click on that, it says direct at the top. And if you press the plus sign, you can type in a whole bunch of account names and they'll all of a sudden be part of this group. And it's where you can have a group conversation. And I have, it's also where you can send someone a private message. But those group conversations to me are probably the most important thing that I have on Instagram. Just because they're the best way. And the reason why they work so well is you can send things to this group from your Instagram. So anytime you, let's say you call it Artist Share Group, and you have 5 or 10 artists that are part of that. If you do a post on Instagram, there's that little arrow down at the kind of half right below your photo.
Yeah.
If you touch that, you can send it to any conversation in a DM. So if you do a post, you can send it to this group conversation. And you can use it as a topic of conversation. You can say, hey, you know, I just posted this. What do you guys think? I mean, it's up to you. But it's a wonderful way to have a conversation with a group of people within Instagram where you can actually share your posts, which I think is super important. So if you do that, you can also have responsibilities within the group. And you can say that, okay, when you share that post within the group, if someone is in that group and comments and likes on it, it shows up on your feed.
Yep.
So you can have what's called a likes group where everyone, every time you post something, you share it with that group, and everyone in that group can just go in and like everything or make comments. And it's a way to kind of support each other, which is a great idea. So there's so many options within a share group. You can also use it if you want to have a group that is going to share each other. So I'm in quite a few of these, and most of them have 8 or 10 people, and the person in charge creates the private direct message group, and at the very top lists everyone in a particular order by their account name, so you could just tap on it. It'll take you straight to their account on Instagram. And the person will say, okay, it's week one, so share the person right below you this week. So you share that person's account on your Instagram and encourage people to go see it, which is awesome. And then the next Monday, she'll come back and say, okay, it's week two, now share the person two below you. And you go all the way through it. If it's 10 people, it's 10 weeks. And it's a great way to share each other. And I think it's one of the most wonderful things you can do on Instagram because you're helping other people. And it's a great way to get to know people. I love it. And I think every artist should be in an artist share group. Now, one thing I'll mention, after three days of having that shared person on your Instagram account, you archive it. Doesn't stay on there forever because, of course, you want your own art to be on your Instagram page. But for 3 days, you share someone else, and remember, they're sharing you as well. And after 3 days, you archive it, so it goes away.
Oh, that's smart.
And it's the
best
thing to do. It really is.
Wow.
And I will be honest with you, I have shared some people, and they got way more likes than I've ever gotten. And way more comments than I've ever gotten. How awesome is that? I mean, that's amazing that I can
actually.
And I've had people reach back and say, oh, my gosh, I got like 1,000 new followers because you shared me. I mean, that just makes me almost cry. It makes me so happy.
It's a really great thing. All right.
It really is.
That's worth okay.
Yeah. So I highly, highly recommend that.
Okay. So I'm going to, this is like talking phonetically because I know it works, but I don't understand all the fine points. I'm very glad nobody's going to ask me a question about this yet. But
I'm here, I promise.
Thank goodness. It's really important then and worthwhile if what you want is more people to see your art, to become part of a group it's called a tribe on Pinterest. And I guess, it sounds like you can do it on Instagram as well. Is it a tribe on Instagram?
No, it's a tribe on Pinterest.
It's a group. Only on Pinterest. All right.
And we talked about this. Let me just – I'm sorry. I'm totally going to interrupt you.
Go ahead,
so rude.
Please.
We talked about this like a month ago when we did our Pinterest show.
Yep.
That if you want to send traffic to your blog and or your Instagram, you need to be on Pinterest.
Yeah.
It is – amazing how much that can help what you do. I'm having a really hard time staying active on Pinterest because it's like, oh my gosh, another form of social media. But if I look at my stats on my blog post of where people come from, even though I do practically nothing, I get so many people coming from Pinterest. And
really?
Those are from
so
posts
no-
I put like 3 months ago. I mean, I just want to tell you that it's really sad that I don't do more of this. It really is. And it's a really great way to get people to come find you. And if you're going to do it, you want to do it with a Tailwind Tribe. Okay, I'm done.
Tailwind Tribe.
Yeah.
No, this is good because you're using it. So Tailwind Tribes consist of like-minded groups of peers that help each other grow their Pinterest reach and traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime someone shares you or you're part of their group, everyone who sort of looks at their account is going to see yours, right? This is
kind
like
of
growing your exposure exponentially. So they do this by helping each other discover the best content for their audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea is that Tailwind Tribes helps you solve, well, two big problems. One is that it gives you a steady stream of content to share, which we all know that any social media, I don't care how organized you are, there comes the day when you sit there and you think, oh, dear Lord, what am I going to post now?
Right.
I mean, having access to content is, that's the whole ball game as far as I'm concerned. And the other quest that I think everyone knows they are on is that you're trying to reach your target audience. So I think the idea here is that everyone in your tribe focuses on collecting content, aggregating it, a fancy word for just banding together to contribute and share content to your group. I mean, it's many people doing the work so that each one can enjoy sort of the results, right?
And so here's how it works. You have to go to a third-party website called Tailwind. And Tailwind is approved by Pinterest. They're like, yeah, it's okay.
Oh.
And there are a lot of them that aren't, because there are a lot of things out there that by joining them you can promote and boost. And it's kind of like bots on Instagram. They're bad because they're not approved. So you have to be – if you know, I get emails all the time, we can help you build your Instagram account. And I like, delete, because I don't want to ever do anything that would risk – anything having to do with my Instagram account. Well, the same goes with Pinterest. So Tailwind is approved and endorsed and partnered with Pinterest. And when you go on to Tailwind, you can go to the section called Tribes. And what happens is there's a place right there that you can click that says Find a Tribe. And you can go into the Find a Tribe, and you can, because there are hundreds and thousands of them out there, and you can type in artists, or art, or oil painting, or abstract painting, and see if you can find one that looks right, and then you can apply to be on it. And usually they let you in, because the more the better. Now, I started a tribe for my 100-year-old home almost a year ago, and now it has hundreds of people that are members of it. And what happens when I go into that tribe on my computer screen, it's a dashboard, and it shows all of the recent Pinterest posts that people, when they posted it on their Pinterest, they clicked a little button and it got sent to the tribe. And so you have all these pictures of all these posts that people have done, and you decide whether or not you want to pin those on your Pinterest board. Now, if you don't know this, Pinterest likes people that share things other than their own. And they have one of those wonderful algorithms that if you only share your own stuff, you're not going to grow. And obviously, if you have a whole bunch of Pinterest boards, you want other people's stuff. I mean, it would be really boring if it was just yours, because you wouldn't have enough information to put in there. There's probably 5% of my Pinterest board that's actually me, probably less than that.
Oh, that's
probably 1%.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So this is a great way. And you, on the Tailwind Tribe, there is no obligation that you have to pin everything. I mean, occasionally I'll see something and think, no, that's not really my taste, so I'm not going to put it in my – I'm not going to repin it, if you will. But there's a lot of times, there's a ton of stuff that I want to repin. And what happens is people repin you and you repin them. So there are a couple people that are joined my tribe that have hundreds of thousands of followers. When they repin one of my pins, that is an amazing thing. So that's why a Tailwind Tribe is so great. And once that pin goes out there, people manage to find it for like months and months and years. And it can keep giving you growth. Just make sure every time you pin one of your own pins that you go in and you make sure the link is taking it back to where you want it to go, whether it's your Instagram page or whether it's your blog. That's super important. Because sometimes if you do it, it doesn't get that link. And then it's kind of like, why bother?
Yeah, yeah. Right, because then they're just getting a dead end.
Yeah.
And your whole point is, yeah, to keep them looking. Gosh, that's amazing.
So that's how it works, and it's that cute. It's a cute little dashboard, and you see all the pictures. And when a picture comes up, you can either say repin it or no thank you. If you say no thank you, it disappears. The person doesn't know that you didn't pin it. I mean, I guess they could go to your account and look, but they're never going to do that. It's a waste of time. But it's just a really great way. And then it always shows you how many times you've been repinned, and then it has the formula of how many people have seen it, and it's pretty incredible. It's really incredible.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, there's my do for the day. Is Find a Tribe or Tailwind Tribes, is it free?
Tailwind is free until you use it a whole bunch, and then there is a fee. Now, you can, I think it's a fee for tribes down the road. It's maybe like, I don't know, $9 a month or something like that. I don't know, because I hit the point after about 4 months of, and then I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I went ahead and just did it because it was really helping me. But right now it's stupid that I'm doing it because I truly do not. Here's my problem with Pinterest. I think if I'm going to pin something on Pinterest, my pin has to have this really great wording on top of it, and it has to be the right size, which is so dumb. I should just be automatically pinning everything I put on Instagram and not worry about it. So I need to get over
that. Yeah.
Okay. Because it's just more step.
Well, and
sense.
You know, to your point, you kind of have to pick and choose. Like, we all know that you start on these things and there's this magical time warp where you think you're just going to do it for 5 minutes, and then you look at the clock and it's 45 minutes or an hour later.
Oh,
and
sure.
So you have to choose, right? You have to choose. But if you're, we've had artists on who are selling lots of paintings and are selling, you know, expensive paintings. And it's no secret that part of their success is because they're getting it out there and a lot of people are seeing their work. So it always comes back to, one way or another, you need to figure out what works for you and where you want to spend your time.
Mm-hmm.
But
I was just telling someone late last night, as we were DMing on Instagram, she had posted a photo and she was really sad that no one had seen it. And she's like, damn, Instagram, why did they do this to me? And if you have a business account, every post you do, if you click analytics and you swipe it up, you can see exactly how many people saw it. And I kept telling, she was so depressed, and I kept telling her, it has nothing to do, with the picture you put up. It just means not enough people saw it. And you can't do anything about that. You really can't, and you have to remember that. So if you put something up on Instagram that's a painting that you love and it doesn't do that well, look and see how many people saw it. Because if half the people saw it that normally do, then repost it another time. You know what I mean? It's kind of a cruel game that you have to play, that you are somewhat at the liberty of what Instagram decides to do. And so much of that, of course, goes back to what time you post it, whether or not after you post it, you're right there so you can respond on comments, which is super important. And there's all these little things. So it's you kind of just have to take it all with a grain of salt. But I think having a group, like what we talked about, I mean, having an in-person group is so awesome. And having that kind of camaraderie and a place to kind of have feedback, especially in person, but if you can't, online is great, I think is what you really need to kind of balance out your art career. Otherwise, you will get in those terrible spirals that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Right.
And
it's so true.
Don't let yourself, you know, think that you suck, because we all do that. For one reason or another.
I was going to say, yeah, it's important to remember you're in this because you love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's
absolutely.
The way it is crazy, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you are so right about that. No, it was a really good show. Really good show. And thank you, Margaret, for sharing all about your critique group. I love that. I really do.
Oh, yeah, maybe it'll get me fired up. I want to end strong in June. I'm going to bring a couple of pages to this one. All right. Well, I will talk to you next week. And between now and then, let's see how many followers you grow to. I think it will be staggering.
I'm inching up at a big milestone, and I can't wait to see that. But huh?
I feel like I'm watching the Kentucky Derby. I can't wait till you get to that finish line. I know it's there.
But it's not a finish line. That's the problem.
No, it's not. You'll just have a new – well, that's why there's – you know, what is it? Three races in the Triple Crown.
It's just like Disneyland. You go through the line, the line, the line, and you turn the corner, and there's a whole other line, the line, the line in front of you. That's
but
what this is
fun.
About. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, too,
okay,
my dear.
Bye-bye.
Have a great holiday weekend. Bye.
You too. Bye.